listening to The Edward Fowler Show. Now, here's your host, Edward Fowler.
Hey everybody, welcome back to my show. I hope you all had a fantastic week. It's now the weekend, finally. Woo! Another one down in April of 2024. Before we dive into this flashback episode, because I did promise you I'm going to bring you one today, of course, three things went wrong for me this past week. We had my microphone. We lost connection with that during my episode with Jordan Castle. Who knew that would be the last episode with that current wire? It took me until the end of the week to get a new one ordered. So we're now back in business for next week. Got two more interviews coming up for you next week. Can't wait for them. Then we had an issue with my car with the clutch, but that seems now to be okay. We'll see how that goes. And the third thing is I unplugged the USB cable which connects my microphone and my headphones, and that disconnected and I broke that, but now it's been fixed. So three things went wrong, three things got fixed. So happy days in that sense of ways. And then this week's episode is Alexander Hammerstone flashback episode with him, where we discussed all sorts of things, of his time in MLW at the time, to his haircut, of why he thought it'd be better to get more exposure, to be the part of the then Dynasty, which was a dominant group in MLW, and many other topics we discussed as well. But here is the full interview with my guest, Alexander Hammerstone, for your listening. Having the major player of MLW, I think, and who is of course now in a part of the Pro Wrestling Noah due to the partnership recently between Pro Wrestling Noah and MLW. Alexander Hammerstone is on the show, ladies and gentlemen. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And you know, you are part of the toughest group in modern day wrestling, really, the Dynasty, and you've got all the belts apart from one. You know, you're the face, aren't you, really?
I'd like to think so.
But I mean, you know, you're almost the face, but I mean, to me, you guys seem a bit cowardly for not going after the World Championship. Would you want to go after the World Championship, maybe?
I mean, I'm not going to say we're not going after. I'm going to say that hasn't happened yet. You know, you're looking at your three guys holding three major championships. It's realistically, we're just trying to not make our gear bags that heavy.
Okay, I get you. What Hammerstone's really trying to say is he's a bit scared of Batu, so he's going to wait until he loses and then go after the belt. Isn't that right?
Man, I mean, I think I've wrestled Fatu a handful of times already across the country, so scared maybe isn't the right word. But,
well, it's not happening in MLW, so if it's happened there, then something needs to happen.
Well, if that's what the powers that be decide to put across the ring for me, I'm more than ready for it.
Well, I'm waiting for it, and I think the fans are waiting for it to happen as well. You know, I think it's your time to be the world champion, be the face of the company. I think I think you draw more money than Fatu.
Well, I mean, ever since signing with MLW, that's the position I wanted to be in, and I mean, really, with any company, that's the position I want to be in, but specifically here. And I mean, I think I have a cool opportunity with the open weight championship, you know, to set the pace and set the standard for what that championship means. But yeah, I mean, typically the world heavyweight championship is going to be the, you know, the end all be all. It's going to be the big brass ring to grab. So, you know, I right now I have a lot on my plate with everything sitting in front of me, but you know, don't think that that world heavyweight title isn't something I'm looking at down the line.
Of course not. And of course, I've been watching you before MLW, so I've been watching you. You may have seen my tweet. I think you liked it when you seen that. But I've actually seen your work since 2014, many years ago. I can't believe it's been that long.
Many years ago. Even those are the matches that aren't worth watching.
Well, you know, it's the early days of what was Hammerstone to be now, kind of thing, you know. And A funny story to how I came across that company, because I have family on the West Coast and some of them live in Oregon. So I just typed in, you know, pro wrestling in Oregon in case I ever go to Oregon, and I think, why not just check out some wrestling while I'm there, of course. And of course that company popped up, and then I seen this guy with, you know, blonde hair, big muscles, with a good tan, and doing athletic things in that company. And fast forward so many years later, he's got short hair, still got a tan and big muscles. So, but yeah, that's how I came across you.
Yeah, you know, that's funny because as you know, as minute of a thing as that might seem to be, that's actually the first place, the first company I ever worked television for. And, you know, working in television wrestling is kind of like a different style than just working, you know, whatever indie show. So, you know, even though that was just a small little place, that, you know, that place actually helped me develop a lot of the stuff you get to see today. So, you know, it's funny how looking back on that, like it's funny how, because I look back on it and, you know, it's it seems like forever ago, but like that's really like kind of what started molding the Hammerstone you see today.
Exactly. And so, you know, this is a funny question for you maybe, but what made you to cut your hair off? I mean, you know, it was fantastic hair you had back then. You know, why cut it off?
I mean, I think in wrestling, you know, you constantly have to kind of reinvent yourself and change yourself and keep things fresh in order for people to kind of not get bored with what you're doing. And maybe not so much on indie wrestling, because you're not exposed to people on a weekly basis, you know, show after show after show, week after week, month after month, year after year. But so, you know, on the indies, you know, I was basically like at this level where, you know, every show I did, you know, all the indies I did, I was like one of the top guys and main events and championships, and that was going to keep happening. But I didn't want to keep doing what I was doing. I wanted to break through to the next level, you know. And a lot of people at a lot of the companies at the next levels had seen what I was bringing to the table already. You know, maybe they saw it years prior, and, you know, when I was a little bit less polished and thought, you know, they weren't interested. So basically I got the idea to just kind of really overhaul things and overdo, you know, reimagine how I present myself, not just from a look standpoint, but from an attitude, from an in-ring, from all these things. So that way, when people are able to look at that and see that change, they might go, okay, let's give this another look. Let's see what this guy's doing. It seems like he's doing something way different. And hey, it works. Pretty much, you know, I think haircut happened, and then, you know, a couple months later, I was signing the contract for MLW. So, and it's been a whirlwind of, you know, craziness since then. I've been booked very consistently all over the, you know, country. Now I'm going overseas with Noah. So I'd say, you know, as much as I might miss the long hair look sometimes, and as much as a lot of people might prefer that, like, I have no regrets on what I did.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you say, that could be the reason why you're in MLW, because of your haircut. Maybe you can just, you know, put it down to that. If you didn't do your haircut, you might not be in MLW today, maybe.
You never know. as silly as that sounds, you know, it's one of those things, you know. It's because, you know, it's not, obviously I'm not a different wrestler, but it might have been the thing that got some to turn someone's head and look, you know. And I tell guys all the time, it doesn't matter if you're a great wrestler if nobody knows it. You gotta get people to pay attention to you. You gotta get people a reason to watch. And then if they see how great you are, cool. But if you're just the best wrestler in your town and nobody knows it, doesn't matter. You're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, a few, I'm going to say about maybe a month ago, I think it was, maybe even 2 months ago, I had on MJF's, you know, girlfriend, you know, Maxwell Jr. Friedman. I think that's the only thing we're going to disagree on. I do know his real, I do know, you know, his name really, but that's what I'm going to call him on this show, because he's the biggest jerk in pro wrestling. But, I mean, you must get fed up with him after 5 minutes in the room with him. You must do. He just talks and talks and talks. Absolute rubbish.
Oh, man. I think you must be watching a different show than I am, because, man, I think when the Dynasty guys are together, that's the funnest time there is.
No. It's all about what he can get from you guys. It's not about what he can give to the Dynasty.
Listen, we all bring a different something to the table. We all bring a different personality to the picture, and when it all comes together, it makes magic. That's all that matters.
Maybe so. But so there you go, Mr. Maxwell Jr. Fideman. How you like that? There, I'll be posting that later today. So we'll see if we get a response from him. But let's talk about as well. You know, you guys were in the tag team championships in Chicago. You know, it was great. It was great, wasn't it? You know, and it was a great match against the British Heart Foundation. Now, at the start of that match, I was cheering for them to win, of course. But after Brian Pillman Jr. knocking down Area Blake for no reason or without even looking, I thought, you know what? I want the Dynasty to win. Let's get them to win. That idiot Brian Pillman Jr. You know, got taught a lesson, and he's still bragging on social media that he deserves no apology for that. Well, sorry, matey, you do.
Well, I mean, there you go. That idiot, Brian Pillman Jr. Listen, I've been trying to tell people he's an idiot for a long time, but I'm glad that somebody actually recognizes that.
Oh, believe me, I do, and I've been telling him on Twitter for the past few weeks, and you know, and he says apparently apologies does not work, and apparently it didn't do any help to his health. So it's not very good, is it, really? But I mean, you know, you need to be taught a lesson. You can't just go around hitting women off ladders for no reason at all. It's like, it's unprovoked. And, you know, all she's trying to do was help the Dynasty out. That's all. And she got, you know.
Well, listen, it was a matter of time before we won the tag belts anyway. Whether Arya got involved, whether Brian hit her, that doesn't even matter. At the end of the day, we won the belts like we were always going to. And now everything's the way it's supposed to be. And Arya is just fine.
Yeah, well, I'm glad she made a full recovery, because I was quite worried after seeing the force she took. Because I only had on the show 2 weeks before that happened. I'm thinking, oh, great, she's dead. But I'm glad she made a...
Yeah, especially that she was wearing high heels when she did.
Yes, exactly. I was like, my God. But the actual quote I'll give here is from Brian Pillman Jr. He quoted me saying, "I gave up apologizing a while ago. Has done wonders to my health." Whatever that meant to me, but you know, you still need to apologize. You know, you can't just go around hitting women for no reason off the ladders, and it would give the wrong impression to other people who may see you do that.
Yeah. But, hey, well, I agree with you.
Well, thank you. Again, the only thing we wouldn't agree on is the MJF business. He's on my blacklist of not coming on this show because of his attitude towards my good friend, Chris Van Vliet. Not Chris Van Vleur, as he calls him, but Chris Van Vliet, you know. He's been on this show as well, Chris Van Vliet, so he's on my blacklist. Unless he changes his attitude, of course, but you're more than welcome to come back on the show. And let's talk about your other friend, you know, Richard Honda, you know, nice guy, very rich guy. You know, you need to keep him in touch, you know, because he maybe help you to hook you up with some good hotels, some good cars, and maybe even good watches as well, maybe.
No, that is definitely true. Holiday is very generous with his wealth, and man, Richard Holiday, he's one of the guys that people need to be paying more attention to and talking about more, because he kind of started out in the Dynasty as kind of like the third wheel, where, like, you know, the spotlight was, you know, on me and Max, but like Holiday just really, through his own natural charisma and his ability to cut these incredible promos, he just kind of really rose up and really set himself on the same standard. So now we got like three guys in this group who are all major players, and I'm really excited to see how that guy explodes in the next year or two.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. People looking forward to it, and I must plug this because I may get told off by MLW. But of course, you can catch new episodes of MLW Fusion every single Monday night, 10 p.m. here in the UK on Free Sports, 10 p.m. Be there or be squared to see the best faction in pro wrestling today, the Dynasty. But I mean, you know, what have you learned any new Japanese yet? Because you're heading to probably Noah, and I bet you need to speak a lot of Japanese and English. Have you learned any words yet to say like hello or I need a toilet?
I don't know anything at all. I'm leaving tomorrow, and I'm very ill prepared.
Oh no!
I'm worried. I'm nervous. I don't know how often I'm going to be able to find a gym. Oh. How often I'm going to eat. I don't know how hard it is to get protein shakes while you're out there. So I'm hoping for the best.
Well, I'm hoping you can still train and still be as big as, you know, we might see a different Hammerstone in a month's time, you know.
I know. I'm going to come home. I'm not going to have my Hogan tan anymore. I'm going to be small. I'm going to be shriveled up. I'm going to look like a normal human being. It might be awful. So I'm hoping I can eat enough rice and what do they got over there? Kung Pao chicken?
Yeah. I'm sure you will survive. I'm hoping so. But there is another guy over there who's from the UK, actually. Never had him on the show yet. Did reach out to him, but he responded to me. So if you listen to this, Chris, you know, get on the A show. Alex Hammerstone has, so if you don't believe me, just ask him. He works for Pro Wrestling Noah as well. And, you know, you may wrestle him there and maybe even back in America, back in MIW.
Yeah.
But,
You never know. A lot of the match, like, they've announced some of the matches over there, but there's, you know, I believe I'm doing 12 or 14 shows in, like, just over a month's time. So there's going to be tons of matchups. There's going to be tons of stuff. So it's going to be wild.
It's going to be wild for you. Yeah, exactly. I wish you luck in all the matches. I hope you just, you know, beat and destroy all the competition there to show you're the best American athlete in the world. And, you know, but I mean, will we ever see yourself or even MLW over here in the UK, you know, because we've got the best fan base, much better than any other place, better than Arizona, better than Las Vegas, better than Oregon or even New York. But I mean, you need to get over here to the best country.
I mean, you got to think that, you know, MLW is constantly making these moves. You know, we just announced the partnership with Noah.
Yeah.
We just actually, just this week, we announced a partnership with The Crash, which is in Mexico. So, I mean, you really got to think a UK, you know, whether it's a partnership or just some shows over there, that's got to be coming soon. And, you know, just from knowing, you know, Court Bauer, that's something that I know he wants to get done. But the thing about MLW is, you know, so far they haven't ever tried to jump the gun and do something they're not ready or fully prepared for. So when it happens, it's like, I'm going to say when it happens, because I wholeheartedly believe that's something that I see it happening within the next year, you know, with all the stuff that's going on and the rate we're growing at and the new markets that we're trying to get into, you know, just with the fact how well our television is doing over in the UK right now.
Yes.
I fully expect that, you know, that's got to be something that's in the works to manifest within the next year or so.
Well, it has to happen. You know, it has to happen. It has to come to the greatest city in the world, Manchester, UK. Okay, it has to come here, because if MLW, right, if that came to the UK, came to Manchester, UK, in the centre of Manchester, or even somewhere right near me, fantastic. Because I make sure I'll be there in person to invade the show. I will show that MJF dude the real person, the real bad ass him in the world. It's not MJF, okay? It's the best podcast in the UK. So he's gonna be put on notice if he came to the UK.
Well, now I'm looking forward to see the match between you two. I hope we could book that.
yeah, it'd be fantastic. Yeah, you know, he wants to steal scarves from other people. Feel free. I've got plenty of things up my sleeve that I can bring to the Mancunian fans. But I mean, it'd be great to see you in person. You know, get to see you get some UK exposure from and feel the wowness of the UK fans.
Yeah, I mean, I've been all over. I've been, you know, Canada, Mexico, all of the US, Japan, but I still have yet to come to the UK. So that's definitely something I want to do. And whether that happens with MLW or just on my own, you know, it's definitely something I'm looking forward to when it happens. So it'd just be that much cooler and that much sweeter if we got to do it with MLW and with the rest of the crew.
Yeah, exactly. And then I would definitely invade the show and make sure to tell the whole entire universe of MLW that this is the A show, and that I'll just take over the whole show. They probably have to kick me out of the show for it to continue. That's how much of a loud voice I have, as I can make my presence felt. But I mean, you know, we've got all these great talent now coming into MLW every month now, it looks like. And you know, who have you been excited to see to sign in MLW so far?
I mean, so just in the last couple of weeks, they announced Douglas James signed to MLW. Douglas James is a guy based out of California here in the U.S., and he's just one of these guys who's just been phenomenal and putting on, you know, five-star matches like over and over, and I've known Doug for a couple of years, so that's going to be something cool. I really, really am looking forward to seeing him and what he does. He's going to debut at the Dallas show in just a couple of weeks. But, you know, the thing is, like, a lot of these guys, like, on the indies versus on a, you know, television product is so much different, because a lot of times indie wrestling is just, like, it's just wrestling. It's, you know, you don't necessarily see much of the character stuff, much of the promo stuff. So it's always a trip to see, like, these guys who are, like, you know, maybe have not had that, like, television engine behind them. And you get to see, like, how they develop, you know, all those other facets of a pro wrestler. So that's what's always really cool. And MLW is, like, really great at showcasing, like, the personalities. And, you know, if a certain character doesn't have a match on a show, you know, they get a, you know, a promo or a segment or a recap or something to, like, really highlight it. So just within a couple episodes of watching, like, you really familiarize yourself with all these different characters and personalities and see how they fit within this greater world.
Yeah, and it's great to see different cultures and different athletes from, you know, from different areas of the world, not just from America and Canada, but from also Mexico as well. You know, it's, you know, to see Lucha Libre, you know, and Strong Style all in the same company. It's great.
Yeah, they're really set on, you know, obviously our show is called MLW Fusion, and it's because they really want to give that wide variety of appeal. Like, you know, we're not, obviously you're not going to please everybody in pro wrestling, and that's never going to be the goal, but the vision with MLW, I think, is just to bring the best styles from around the world, and you get to see them all in one place.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of shows get caught up with doing one specific thing, and then that's all they do, but, like, on a given episode of MLW, you know, you could have Davey Boy Smith and Timothy Thatcher, you know, doing a mat-based match for 20 minutes, or you could end up seeing Jimmy Havoc in a death match, or, you know, it's crazy the variety you get, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and thank you for mentioning Jimmy Havoc. Thank you for that. I'm probably going to get fined now by that big company. I'm not going to name him on the show. But if I do get fined, I will send that bill to you, okay?
I'll pass it on to MJF. I'll have him foot it.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that. now, of course, we did get a treat. And I think you saw it, but JFG, if I'm going to call this person, because that person's name is very long and it's very hard to pronounce. But they want to know, how did you get your first start in wrestling? And again, I think we answered that early on in the show.
My first start in wrestling, I started in wrestling predating the WC. That was not, that was already a couple of years in when I started with them. But, you know, I don't have anything super unique or super crazy. It's pretty much like most people. I just, you know, I kind of always wanted to do it. And I started hitting the gym. And then once I felt like I didn't look like a, you know, a scrawny little piece of crap in the mirror, I started looking for wrestling schools, and I was really lucky to find one pretty close to where I was at. And, you know, wrestling is a really weird thing where, like, you kind of have no idea how to get into it, but once you get into it, like, you kind of get, like, sucked into this underground world where everyone knows everyone and there's just connections everywhere. So, like, the deeper down the rabbit hole you go, it just, like, it's everything gets caught up in a whirlwind, and before you know it, you're training at a new school, and then you're getting on the road, and you're traveling to different companies, and then you're getting flown all over the world. And yeah, man, it was almost 10 years now, but wow. Yeah, so I've been at this for a minute.
Well, you know, you still look quite young for your age, though, you know, kind of thing, for doing it for 10 years. You know, you look like you've been doing it, you know, for that long, but I mean, your age, you're not really showing your age, really. So whatever you're using to keep young, keep doing it.
Well, I'm only 28, so I still got a couple good years left to me before I have to hang them up.
Yeah, about 20 or 30 years to go. You never know.
I'm going to go ahead and say I hope that I don't have to keep doing it that long.
Why not?
There's days when I wake up and I can't even tie my shoes. So... Oh.
Yeah, that's not good then, is it? maybe should hang up.
Unforgiving
in a few years.
Business.
Yeah. Make special appearances only.
Make the money and get out.
Yeah, exactly that. Exactly. And you know, tell my audience, and what is it, Arizona? It's a very boring city. You know, you got mountains and such. But I mean, there's not much to do there. It's just very hot, and people just come in and just go right back out because of the heat. But tell us why should they stop in Arizona then?
I mean, I like Arizona. I don't mind it. Obviously, the heat, you know, is wild, but I can't even imagine. I traveled a lot. I've been a lot of places in the winter where it's just insane snow. It's below zero, and I would deal with a miserably hot summer to avoid blizzards and all that nonsense in the winter. So, you know, Arizona, I don't know if I'll be staying here forever. You know, there's nothing necessarily keeping me here, but yeah, I don't mind it. It's not as bad as, you know, people make it out to be.
Okay, fair enough. And so where's the place you would like to move to then? You know, you're saying, is it to Las Vegas maybe? Go to Sin City, or is it go to the East Coast?
I mean, that's the thing. You know, Las Vegas is, you know, only a couple hour drive from me. I wrestle in Las Vegas usually like at least twice a month, and that's only about 4 hours of driving. So it's, you know, to move there would be almost, you know, silly. A couple, you know, in the last couple of years, you know, a couple of years ago, I was really considering moving to the East Coast, just because I felt like I was in this point in my career where, like, I wanted something to happen. It wasn't happening. So I thought the solution is, oh, move out east and get yourself in a whole new market, you know. But something I've kind of learned with wrestling, and this is something that, like, some wiser people have had to, like, really pound into my head, is, like, sometimes guys are on the right path and they just need to stay the course. But, like, everybody wants stuff to happen right away. And, like, if big things aren't happening, like, on a weekly or daily basis, people freak out and think they need to, like, change their course, and they need to do something drastic on, you know, Twitter, or they need to move, or they just have to try some crazy thing to get noticed. It's like, you're on the right path, you know. And, like, that's something, like, one of my mentors has said to me. He's like, you're on the right path. Just stay the course and, like, watch the things happen. Like, and then when big things happen, like, people forget about them so quickly. You know, they get an opportunity here, or they fly to a new company, or they win a championship, or, you know, they get whatever it is. You know, it happens, and they get real happy about it. And then they, like, nothing else happens for the next month, and they're freaking out thinking they have to change something. So it's like, I remember I was there thinking about moving to the East Coast, you know, but now that I've had that opportunity to, you know, I'm in a position where companies on the East Coast are flying me out there to wrestle, I see that, like, the landscape out there is basically the same as it is on the West Coast. You know, you have your good companies, you have your bad companies, you have your good workers, you have your bad workers.
Yeah.
And, you know, fortunately, I'm in the position where I've created enough of a name of myself where I'm able to keep a full schedule, and a lot of, you know, companies are willing to invest in the air travel, so I'm able to go to those places. But, like, I don't think, you know, unless you're in the, you know, middle of nowhere, you know, moving to a whole new place just to be in a hotter wrestling market might not be the answer. You know, a lot of people think, like, that's what they got to do. Obviously, if you're new, you have to be near a good school, and you have to be able to wrestle. But, like, just, you know, if you're not ready to succeed at a certain level, then going to a different place isn't going to help you. Like, because all you'll do is you'll just, you know, get lost in the shuffle somewhere else. But, like, if you're truly, truly at that level, like, you're probably going to rise, you know, to the top no matter where you're at.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, on that subject, we're going to talk about, we had on Selena De La Renta here on the Alfalfa Show, okay? And one of her favorite factions outside of her own is of course, the Contra unit. I want to know, who's your favorite people you like to watch outside of the Dynasty? Have you got a particular people you like to watch, or just the Dynasty all day long?
Man, I mean, maybe I'd have to say Dynasty all day long. You know, so the thing is, like, that's the thing about, like, MLW. It's like, I enjoy watching our show. Like, if I'm going to watch a show, like, you know, an episode comes up and I'm on it, I'll watch the whole thing. I like to be, aware of what everyone's doing. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember back in, you know, just even like a couple years ago, you know, maybe even up to 2 years ago, I felt like I had to keep up with everything wrestling. I felt I had to watch Monday Night Raw. I had to watch SmackDown. I had to watch Impact. I had to watch, you know, New Japan. I just felt like I had to be aware of everything. I had to watch everyone's matches. I had to watch what everyone was talking about. And like, you know, now I'm at a point where it's like, I don't always want to watch wrestling. I don't always like to watch wrestling. You know, yeah. If there's something good I want to look at, cool, I'll check it out. But like, a lot of times I'm wrestling 3 or 4 nights a week, and then for the rest of the week, I just want to relax. I just want to hang out with my dogs or hang out, you know, at home and, you know, do whatever I do. So as far as like who I like to watch besides myself, you know, really right now there's like nothing I'm like super paying attention to, if, you know, to be completely honest. But that's just because I kind of like oversaturated myself for so long that now I'm just, you know, I'm going with the flow. And if somebody catches my eye, I'll pay attention to them, you know. But like, I don't really have an answer for you. I'm at a point too where like, I feel like I've, you know, especially with the Dynasty, we've hit our creative groove where like, I don't feel like I have to kind of like look at what other people are doing and try to figure out what works. I just like to go in without any influence and see what we come up with and see how that works. And it's been a pretty fun process so far.
It has been. And actually we got the ratings about Selena De La Renta. She said that apparently when she's in charge of the show, the ratings are through the roof than when she's not running the show. Do you agree with that, or do you think that when the Dynasty is a part of the show, it's much more eager and more ratings would go through the roof?
Oh, who knows? I mean, listen, Selena, you can say whatever you want, but I'm guessing that half the ratings for Selena are guys who put the TV on mute and just like to watch her face on TV or her in her skimpy dresses. So that doesn't really say much about the wrestling show. But hey, whenever the Dynasty's on, I like to think that that's the most entertaining part of the show. And I'm still waiting for us to get to produce an episode. She likes to talk about how she's the best, but yes, she doesn't have any competition. They're not letting anyone else do it. So
hey,
let us run. Let's have the ball. Let us run with it, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think it'd be pretty cool having the Dynasty run it. Maybe not have MJF have anything to do with it, but I think you and Richard Holly would do a fantastic job winning the show. I think that'd be a great idea. Having fresh ideas and everything like that. But I mean, so who want to fight next in MLW, who you've not had a chance to face so far, or maybe want to face again in MLW, because there is some new stars there, and of course some other people have gone a bit more dangerous since you've maybe last fought them.
Yeah, I mean, so like we kind of touched on earlier, you know, I'm always going to be gunning for the top dog, and if that's Fatu, you know, like I said, we've got the opportunity to wrestle, you know, multiple times in multiple different states, but never on the stage like MLW, never in that front of that many people, never on TV. So it's like, that would be incredible to get to do it on that stage, you know, not only because it'd be cool, but also because I'd be beating him and winning the heavyweight championship. But I digress, you know. Besides that, you know, there's so many matchups that have never happened for me in MLW. You know, Low-Key, Tom Lawler, there's all these really good guys. But, you know, to be honest right now, like a big focus of mine is a rematch with Davey Boy Smith Jr. because we wrestled and it was arguably, you know, my best match in the company so far. It was a match that a lot of people liked, but it didn't necessarily end the way that satisfied me, that satisfied Davey, or that satisfied the fans. It came to a disqualification, mm-hmm. which is nice because I got to keep my championship. But yes. I'd like, you know, I want to get in the ring with him again. I think we have some unfinished business. And also, you know, on a real level, he's one of the best wrestlers in the world right now. So I as fun as it is to get in the ring and, you know, beat up Ariel Dominguez in 5 minutes or beat up Kota Brazil in 3 minutes, like I like to go out there with the very best in the world, with the toughest, with the biggest, the strongest, the best wrestlers, and see what I got and test myself.
Yeah, well, I think you should not get the low kick, because I think you made us knock you around in like 1 minute or less because of his dangerous kicks and punches he's got nowadays. But I like how you mentioned you want a rematch. That's very unlikely of a wrestler who kept the championship by a discovery occasion, but wants a rematch to prove that they can beat. And that's very unlike any person I've had on the show so far. So you're making history here, ladies and gentlemen. This is it. This is the real Alex Hammerstone. He's a real man. He wants to fight and he wants to get a proper win, not just a cheap win by DQ. He wants to go out there and get a pinfall or a submission win. I like that. I like that even more now. But I mean, you're going after David Boy Smith Jr. You know, I have to go against you now because, you know, his father, you know, lived. He wasn't born, but he lived in Manchester, UK. Of course, the best city in the world. And this is a true story. I've mentioned this many times before, but, you know, his father, David Boy Smith, knew my father, okay? And they used to train in some gym and became friends that way. And, you know, I had to go with David Boy Smith Jr., unfortunately, on that one. But sorry about that, but I had to go with
the... Okay, well, this has been a great podcast. This is a great interview, but I think we're going to have to cut it off now.
Oh, no, he's going to cut me off.
I think no further questions.
Oh, he'd be the second person to come off the show by doing that. But, you know, that's the thing I'm going to disagree on is that as well. But apart from that, though, nothing else to disagree with on. But, I mean, you know, Tom Lawler will be a great match with you as well. But I think you can get through him easily. He's a broken man.
Yeah, that's something that we really haven't seen how he's going to rebound and how he's going to come back from losing that championship. And, you know, so... who knows? I mean, Tom Lawler, he's got a legitimate UFC background, and he's got that, you can't take that away from him. So it brings a different style to the ring, you know, and he did hold that heavyweight championship for several months in our company. I believe he held it for about 6 months. So, you know, it's no easy task. So you can't say he's a slouch, but like you said, you know, getting that taken away from him, you never know how somebody responds to that. It could once you get your ego shattered, sometimes, you know, you're never the same.
I can agree with that. But I mean, he did have the time for like 7 months or so, but I mean, most of the time he just talked a lot of rubbish, okay, and was like every 2 months or something. And you know, he wasn't really a fighting champion. You know, you guys talk and you wrestle on the same vent. He talks a lot, does not wrestle on the same show. He wrestles like a month after, you know, something like that. So really, he had the belt for like 4 months, really, fighting and defending it. So
I can't argue with that.
Well, there you go. This is why you come on this show, because you get the correct answers and you get a lot of agreeing from both sides. You know, we're kissing each other's ass, aren't we, on this show today? I'm glad that made you chuckle there. I think I'm doing a very good job keeping you on my side there. So MJF, if you listen to this, yeah, you know who's a better podcaster, don't you? Not Chris Van Bleet or Chris Van Blur, me. Now, Aria Blake tweeted this to me last week. She said she was saying something about everyone thinks they have a podcast. No, I gain nothing from you recording a chit chat with me for your dozens of followers. You just want a free conversation. If you have an actual podcast, disregard if you're a weirdo in their room and wants to Skype me if you're attacked. Now, of course, we had her on the show again a few months ago, 2 months ago, and so she said to me she liked my podcast. It was fun time. You're professional and know what I'm doing as an interview. Do you feel the same now since you've been on this show? Do you agree with that comment by Aria Blake on Twitter?
This is just fine. So far, you haven't tried to do anything weird yet. No. I mean, you did say you'd root for Davey Boy, so you lost some points when you said you'd root for Davey. But
that's your fault. You mentioned him. I didn't mention him first. You mentioned him first. So I couldn't say nothing else.
Well, you could have just done the proper thing and lied.
So. well, my listeners know I don't lie here on the Fowler Show. I tell them the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And sometimes the truth hurts, doesn't it? So, you know.
Maybe just a little bit of a sting, that's all.
Yeah, well, I apologize for that. But, but I mean, so where do you get your tan from? Like, do you go in the sun, or do you just get some tan from, you know, your favorite idol? Or
We do. I got a lot of fake bacon, but then again, I'm in Arizona, so we do have a good sun.
Yeah, yeah. I bet going out in the sun, you just go in a sunbed, don't you? Just do it that way, easier, saves time.
I do, and that, you know, I do a lot of sunbeds because I'm impatient, and that's I'm worried about in when I'm in Japan. I don't even know if they have tanning beds over there, and if they do, they're probably way too small.
Yeah, they might be, but
just the beds over there are too small.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I've seen them in like in movies and in the of course a Hitman game. You know Hitman the game. They are quite small. Mm-hmm. What I've seen on them games. but I mean, you know, I've heard some things about these sunbeds. They can do serious damage to your health. So if I was you, be careful. Maybe this might help you.
Listen, I'm a pro wrestler. I'm obviously not first and foremost concerned with my health, or I would have picked a different career.
True, you would, but I mean, I'm trying to help you with your health, because we want you in the ring for as long as possible, but if you could go into these sunbeds, it might ruin your chances of that. So maybe by going to Japan, this might help you. Maybe that's why Kurt has sent you to Japan.
Yeah, he sent me to Japan to stop my tanning addiction. Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is. There you go. That's the true reason. There we go. So we tricked you now, haven't we, Corey? We've unveiled your true plan. So we hope you enjoyed that. But yeah. So you know, do you think you were slapping? Do you think you were slapping around Brian Pillman Jr. anytime soon? Because we had Ace Austin on the show back in June, and he would love to slap around Brian Pillman Jr. again. I'm sure you would as well. You know, just teach him a lesson from hitting Area Blake. I mean, none of you have actually said anything about that. Why?
I mean, well, the thing is, I've already wrestled Brian Pillman Jr. twice, and I've already beat Brian Pillman Jr. twice. Nightmare Pendulum in the middle of the ring. So, you know, actually, it's funny. You mentioned Ace Austin. I think I'd probably rather wrestle Ace Austin at this point, just, you know, to do something new and fresh.
Yeah, yeah. I think it'd be a good match, but I think, you know, you got to be aware of his magic tricks. You know, he's a good magician.
Oh, yeah, he's got those tricks. I'm not too fond of those. You know, I think if he tried to pull any of that crap on me, I'd shove that Ace of Spades where the sun don't shine.
Oh, I would love to see that happen soon. Please book that MLW. That'd be a great match to see for the Open Weight Championship. That would be a match you do not want to miss, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Well, you have to agree, don't you? You know, you'd be defending your championship more than any other champion in MLW. And, you know, the more defenses, the more better your reputation will be. If fans hate you or just all like you.
Oh, yeah.
So who would you suggest and would be a great guest here on the Fowler Show from MLW? Who do you think I should get in contact with to be on the show after you from MLW?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, you said you had Aria, you had me, you hate Max, so I think the next logical choice would have to be Richard Holiday, right?
Yeah, good choice indeed. Yeah. I've got some disagreements with him as well. To do with a company in Pennsylvania. You've been there. You've spoken to the guy we've had on Tom Mitchell on the show a few months ago. You know him as the PPW backstage reporter.
Okay.
You may not remember him, but anyway, you and him did not like him because he interrupted your workout backstage.
That's right. I remember now. Yes.
And I was quite offended by that. You know, he's just trying to do his job and just get some, you know, gossip from you guys.
We'll do it better. That's all. It's simple.
Yeah, it's simple, but I mean, you'll be nicer to him next time, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not paid to be nice. I'm paid to be paid to win matches, brother.
Okay, well, I'll let him know his your feedback to him, and I let him speak to him. I'm good friends with him, you know, you could be nice to these reporters. You've been nice to me, you know, so I've got you on your happy day. So means what
yeah, you caught me come at a good time.
Yeah, I have, haven't I? I certainly have. What is so what are you packing then to go to Japan with then? You're gonna take your sun lotion, you're gonna take some shorts with you, you're gonna take some winter clothed with you?
I mean, I'm gonna take a lot of merchandise because I'm sure they're gonna want to buy it.
Oh yes.
I'm gonna take some pre-workout so that way I can hit the gym when I need to.
Nice.
And I'm gonna take the MLW National Championship so I can show it off. Hopefully I get to defend it, and I do not plan on losing it while I'm over there. That would be pretty awful.
Yeah, it would be awful.
If I lost that while I'm over there, I don't think I'll come home. I just think I'll start a new life. Just abandon everything. I haven't even packed, believe it or not, so that's something that I still have to do.
Oh, right.
So pretty much once we're wrapped here, I got a lot of packing to do.
Yeah, yeah. I may go to a shop and get some Japanese translator book. I mean, you know what to say in Japanese when you get to the airport in Japan.
I know, right? Hopefully they have somebody there who could just translate everything for me.
Fingers crossed. Well,
make it nice and easy.
Well, there is a British dude who works there, so maybe he can help you.
No, that's true.
Yeah, it is true. It's damn true. Anyway, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, Hamilstone. Is there anything else you'd like to mention which I may not have said, but you think is very important to get off your chest here on the Father Show, the best wrestling podcast in the UK? You must have agreed to that as well, mustn't you?
Man, I don't think I have anything specific I want to say. You know, maybe I'll just be a pretentious and tell everybody to follow me on social media and all that crap.
Yeah,
I'm at Alex Hammerstone on Instagram and Twitter. I'm Alexander Hammerstone on Facebook. And everybody, I'm gonna be like I said, I'm leaving for Japan tomorrow, so hopefully I'm able to document that pretty well over the next couple of weeks, and hopefully I get some interesting material out of it. So stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned indeed, and that's the first time we've had a wrestler yawn here on the Father Show. So you're making a lot of history today, man. I've bought him for about 46 minutes, and it took 46 minutes for him to yawn. This is fantastic here on the Father Show. But we must say as well that you do have a YouTube channel as well, Alexander Hammerstone on YouTube, I believe it is, isn't it?
Oh, I do. Yeah. I'm so thing. I used to be a lot more active on YouTube. I used to do a lot of stuff, kind of like a fitness stuff. But yeah, now I'll still upload some videos, some matches, some highlights every once in a while. So that's something to look at too.
Yeah. So make sure you go there, subscribe to him, show him to your wrestling friends, and show him about. You know, he's a great fitness guy. He can give you a lot of tips and knows all the best tan places if you want a good tan. That was my conversation with Alexander Hammerstone. I hope you all enjoyed listening to that flashback episode, who is of course now in total non-stop action, doing some incredible stuff down there, and you know, he's taking it to a next level in TNA, and we wish him all the best, and maybe one day we'll have him back on the show soon. But now on to some of the better news. We do have two more episodes coming to you this coming week, one on Tuesday and we've got one on Sunday of next week as well, so I hope you can tune in for both of them. But for right now, until the next episode drops, enjoy the rest of your morning, night, evening, or afternoon.
You've been listening to the Edward Fowler Show. Subscribe and leave a rating on Apple Podcasts or follow on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts to get new and flashback episodes every week. More on Facebook and Instagram at Edward Fowler Show and edwardfowlershow.com.